Hi, my name's Michael. I am a grateful believer in Jesus, my Savior, my Redeemer, my only help through the doorway of heaven is His sacrifice for me on the cross and for you on the cross, His shed blood. That's how we get our salvation, and that's how I receive mine. I have struggled with anger and anxiety, and I used to medicate both. I'd like to welcome you on this startup journey through the 12 steps and the 8 principles. Hooray! We've come to day one. 25 wonderful lessons are coming, or 24 more. Let's do the principle together. Read it out loud. Realize I am not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Matthew 5:3. We admitted we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behavior, that our lives had become unmanageable. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Romans 7:18. Well, you know, I'm going to read. It's just a miracle. I'm going through my Psalms lately, and I do my Proverbs every morning, and I could just see it. Is this working out? Am I coming to my life scripture? Is Psalms 139 going to show up on September the 19th? And sure enough, there it was. Psalms 139 was today. I mean, that's wonderful. That is my life scripture. That means something. Everybody, hooray. Okay. I'm going to read it. Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. You can put your name there yourself there when I'm reading this. Thou doth understand my thoughts from afar. Thou doth scrutinize my path and my lying down and art intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, thou doth know it all. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest parts of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me. And thy right hand will surely lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. You know, for me right there, when I was reading this today, the key word there was my soul knows it well. My head doesn't know it. My head wants to tell me everything else from my past. But my soul knows it well. You know, 43 years ago, I was sitting in the tabernacle at camp meeting. I was reading How Great Thou Art, and it just led me to the knowledge of God. It's probably the most concrete thought I had in my life at that time. It was clear, it was precise, it made total sense to me. Everything that I had learned through my childhood being raised in Sunday school and stuff just became alive in this hymnal. And all of a sudden, Just As I Am was playing and people were going down the aisles, and so I just kind of got up and went down there and I gave my life to Jesus. I asked Him to forgive me of my sin. I acknowledged Him as sitting with God, and God is the creator of all things, and I did that thing. I was saved. I gave my life to Christ. It was really kind of neat for a while. It was in the mid-Jesus movement, and things were kind of really kind of neat. But it became rough for me as a believer. You see, I was already a victim of sexual crime at 7. I was immature. I was uneducated. I was sexually confused and active. And my identities were worthless and stupid. I was a mess. I was a saved mess, pretty much. And I tell you, I was in and out of church. I go here, I go there. I kind of got a bad flavor for churches for some reason. It was part of my childhood crime. And, I always wanted to go back and give it a try because I wanted to kind of belong to something. I always did. Being worthless and stupid, you know, you felt like you had a need and I felt church would fill it. But I just couldn't make it there, you know. So I had a bone-dry experience one day. All the drugs were gone. My adultery was gone. My foolishness was mostly gone for doing bad and dumb things. And I was sitting in my shop, and it was just, nothing was working. Nothing. I had nothing going on. All that stuff didn't work for me. I really just needed some answers. I really just needed some hope in my life. I was at the end of everything I was trying. And that's when the Lord touched me. He just says, I'm here. I'm here for you. It just broke my heart. It was such a pure thing. It was such a pure meeting of Him. It was supernatural. And that night, at the age of 48, I drove like a maniac down 205 and came in the back parking lot. And I said my first prayer. I said, Lord, I'll go in there, but I need your help. I really need you. And I was sincere. I wasn't comfortable going to go into this church, into this building. But I said, I'll go in there. I know I need to be a part of this family, part of these people, part of the gathering. Please give me some help. And He really has. That was 15 years, 16 days ago. And, you know, it has not been easy. It has been great. It's been wonderful. It's been overwhelming with joy. It's been full of tears, difficulty in speaking some things I didn't want to speak to people. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would not trade it for anything. I felt some super agony and pain and loss right here in this fellowship halfway through that time. And the Lord just kept me, and He just held me, and I was able to be here and learn and just know more of His presence, know more of His forgiveness, know more of His sanctification process in my life. I've gotten to know many people who have come through this program. I've seen many have all kinds of challenges, face all kinds of difficulties, break all kinds of habits, drinking, drugs, sexual issues, codependency, anger, gambling. So many people have come here that have had abuse and have been hurt, and a lot of damage has been to their life, and they came to a place where they could get some help. We understand your pain here. I understand your pain. We're willing to sit with you. We're willing to walk alongside of you. We want to encourage you, help you through this process of recovery. This is a safe place where you can begin your journey. It was for me. And I know my work isn't finished here. I was just speaking to a brother a little earlier, and I'll just say, man, I'm just thinking, I'm just getting a grasp of this. And it's just the richest thought that, you know, I'm getting a grasp of things. I'm able to actually walk in certain things. And I'm able to do it one day at a time. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run this endurance, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. He breaks it down in the Living Bible when he puts it in there, but I chose to use a different translation. But to break that down for me, there's two parts that stick out. Basically, there is a race that we need to run. There is a specific part that we need to play, that you need to play, that Lord has for you. He wants you to stand up and walk through something and endure, and He wants to bless your life. And the second part is He wants us to lay aside every encumbrance, everything that hangs us up, that tangles up our feet, that makes us trip, that gives us guilt or shame, that's caused us pain, that's hurt us. He wants us to give it to Him. He wants us to let go of it. Holding on to the past, the pain, hurts, and bitterness is something we need to let go. We cannot have these things and walk in the light with them. We have to shed those things that have brought darkness on us, and we need to give them up. Are you worried about, maybe if you've come here and you're worried about what would happen? I was worried about what happened. I was worried about the conflict I might have here in the fellowship. Are they going to judge me? Are they going to tell me to sit down and be quiet? I needed somebody to tell me that every now and then, but I was afraid I would just be dismissed. So I know that some people come in here and they have fear about what's going to happen. You know, if I come there and start changing, is my husband going to dismiss everything? Is he going to reject me? Are my friends going to reject me when I stop drinking with them? You know? What's going to happen when I come here? So we have some worries. We have some fears. What might happen if we come and we start hanging out with people who want to change? And there's a process where God enters our life and He gives us hope. He gives us love. He gives us this sanctification process where we become stronger and we become actually a force. With His Holy Spirit, we become a challenge to things in our life. We're not discouraged. We're a challenge for people. Many come here, and you might be dealing with unforgiveness. If you come and that's part of your problem, if there's bitterness in a place of, in your life where there's unforgiveness, you need to come into grips with that. You need to understand that Jesus said, we need to forgive, because if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. If you're hanging on to something where you can't forgive somebody, we can help you with that. This program can help you with that. The Lord wants to soften your heart and bring you to a place where He can let you just get rid of that and get rid of that load that's on you. It really is very heavy to carry around unforgiveness. And some people are dealing with fact that they can't be forgiven. You know, I can't come here. Nobody knows me. If they knew about me, they'd reject me. And I don't think the Lord's going to forgive that. I don't think people will forgive me. Well, that's just not the truth. The Lord will forgive. He's complete in His forgiveness. In fact, when you come in here and you've already given your life to Jesus Christ like me, that work's already been done. You've already been forgiven. Your salvation is fixed. Your place with the Lord in heaven is fixed. What's happening here is we're working on restoring things that have been broken. We're working on putting things back together. We're working on being healed. And you are forgiven. And you will feel that forgiveness. You will feel that complete. If you're dealing with guilt and shame, that guilt and shame will go away once you're willing to let go of it. And that's where you can find some help here in this program. If it's your first time here, I'm glad you're here. And I think there's no doubt about why you're here. I don't think there's coincidences. I think this is the absolute time that you need to be here and to hear some of these words and some of this encouragement tonight. If you've been here for some time, and this is your second or third step study, fourth or fifth, well, you know that you always can pick up something and learn something. Find a new thing that's giving you a little difficulty. For me, this last 8 months, I gave up coffee. I didn't want anything to hang me up. And I've been working on 2 years on my diet, being gluten-free and stuff like that. I'll tell you what, gluten makes bread taste good. And coffee is a real challenge because you smell it everywhere, you know. But He's given me the strength to pull through that, and I'm finding stuff about that. I'm able to pick up things that are needful for me when I give something up. I find some other thing to replace there, and it's kind of neat. But we can all walk through the steps again and learn something new, get some new wisdom about what we need to do in our life and how we can alter things and make things better, how the Lord can do that for us. If you're here because you're worried about someone else, you have a loved one that needs help, and you're thinking you might get some handles here on how to help that person, well, we can encourage you too on how He can help you. So there's place here for you in that idea. You know, denial is a coping mechanism. I won't give the old pun about what denial isn't, but we all know it's not a river. It's a coping mechanism. In fact, I'll read, I wasn't going to read it, but I'll read it anyway. I'll read what good old Freud says about it, if I can find it. He calls it a defense mechanism. Freud brought the term denial into the 19th century through his theories of workings of the mind, largely known as psychoanalysis, turned into psychotherapy. In his theories, denial was categorized as a defensive mechanism to help block out pain and conflict. Over the years, and with a lot of variations and applications, today simplified, denial is used as a term of avoidance. I don't want to take away from the good psychology, what good psychology can do. In fact, I believe a lot of great advances have come to us through what the mental health sciences can do. Unlike Freud, who wanted to go deep into the subconscious mind of someone and fool around with some answers, I think a very serious place to go. The Lord uses truth and His healing power to set us free. His Holy Spirit will and does confront us with the truth of what is happening in our life and why we find ourselves in denial. That is our lesson. That's our acrostic, denial. And the first letter in denial is for disables our feelings. It disables our feelings. Hiding our feelings and behaviors keeps us distant from our pain and or our conflict, so we think. But does it really? I say it doesn't. It just prolongs it. It just keeps us in a place of weakness and of no strength. It makes us helpless. We will never understand ourselves if we don't deal honestly with our struggles. We need to know how to navigate our feelings. We will not know how to operate in a healthy way, personally and socially, if we disable our emotions. We need to let our emotions out. One of my emotions was anger. I didn't know how to deal with my anger. I didn't know what my anger was about. My anger got me in trouble, so what did I do? I smoked pot and took long drives into the woods, finding something that would give me answers, which was nothing. Or if that didn't work, I would drink tequila or just go out and party or just aimlessly buzz around life, not really amounting to anything, barely keeping enough work and stuff to keep myself alive and busy. But I was not confronting that anger. I was not understanding what was going on with me. I was burying it with other things. 2 Peter 2:19 says, "They, the world, promise them, us, freedom, while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For a man is a slave of anything that conquered him." The E in denial is energy lost. There's ways I lost energy. That was with spending my brain cells on anxiety and the fear of failure. Pain of the past and my losses and regrets. I'll tell you what, worrying burns energy. Our brains burn energy. When I would stress out, then I would get fatigued. I wake up in the morning, so many mornings when I'd be self-talking, my brain would just be going millions of miles an hour. You know, and that was all burning up energy and time, and a very stressful thing. I'll tell you one thing I did learn, ways I gained more energy and ways I gained more time and had a better perspective of time was I basically really started this, systematically living one day at a time about 4 years ago. I just had to start doing that. And believe me, I believe everybody doing everything in life can live one day at a time. I believe it's totally achievable. Let's look that up where Jesus is talking about that. It's in Matthew 6, right after he gives us the Beatitudes. And he really doesn't say live one day at a time. He says it totally different. I'll start at verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, nor gather into the barn, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, they do not spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. So basically it goes down to 34. It says, therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I must say, just before that, verse 30 says, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So, live in today. Don't live in tomorrow. Today has enough trouble of its own. How true, right? We lose energy avoiding situations and places and other people. I mean, it takes a lot of energy doing that. Avoiding places and situations. Making up a whole new schedule for yourself. We lose energy in trying to control others. Anybody got a problem with codependency? Trying to live your own life is hard enough and you want to live somebody else's life. It takes a lot of energy to live two lives, man. Yet it's a huge problem today. It's growing and growing more and more. We lose energy with finances when we were using chemicals or alcohol. It takes a lot of energy to replace that funds that you used by doing that, if you even were working at all. Man, I really had to go work for a while when I took some time off and went out and just played and went aimlessly into the woods or fishing or doing whatever I was doing. Man, I wasn't taking care of my family and I wasn't taking care of my finances, and it really took a lot of time to make up for all that. So, the E is definitely for energy lost. Psalms 146:7, he frees the prisoners. He lifts the burdens from those bent down beneath their loads. He truly does. The N negates growth. Living in denial, losing energy, not being honest about our pain, anxiety, and fear holds a person ineffective. You can't be effective when you're in denial. You're not being honest. You're not living a truthful life. You're really living a lie, basically, because you can't live the whole person that God created you to be. And he did create you to be somebody. He fearfully, like we read, he fearfully and wonderfully made you. So to be stuck in denial really just negates the growth. It makes us ineffective. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he rescued them. He led them from their darkness and shadow of death and snapped their chains. Psalms 107:13-14. And the big I isolates us from God. Denying or hiding our hurts, our habits, our hang-ups, hiding our pain, isolates us from God. It really does. I mean, when I was out there acting up in adultery, left my family out there running and gunning, I made up my own religion. I made up my own thoughts of what that was. I didn't care much for the authorities at all. I just shunned the authorities, and I definitely wasn't going to set foot in a church. So I really isolated myself from God totally. And it was my choice. It's really our choice if we want to have God involved in our life or not. We have free will. So it really is our choice if we want to isolate ourselves from God or not. And to be in denial and not face the hurt, the habit, the hang-ups that keep us tied up, and to remain in our pain, it really is a choice. As difficult as it is for some of you to hear that you've been abused, I didn't choose this. I didn't choose to have this way. I didn't choose to have this sorrow and this shadow hanging over my head. Well, we do choose to remain there if we don't choose to reach out and let God help us. We do choose that. Habits are hard to see, the fact that we are choosing that. God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. It not only isolates us from God, it alienates us from our relationships, or the real relationships you should have. Man, I thought everybody was my brother out there and, you know, in the world when I was chasing it and when I was, you know, looking for the next bag, or I was looking for the next cool scene, or I was looking for the next place to go play music or whatever it was that I was doing, the next great fishing hole to go to. I mean, I'll tell you what, everybody I met was not my friend. I was really running from my friends. I was running from my help. So actually, I actually found myself in situations I shouldn't even be in. I was already set apart. Like I said, I was already saved when I was out doing this stuff. So I was really, in a sense, I used to say, kind of cursed to the world. I didn't have a place there. And everywhere I'd go, I'd find that there was a hedge around me. I found discouragement. I found being ripped off by people. I found just dead-end roads, broken heart, all kinds of stuff. There's just places, I was in places I was just shouldn't have been, and places that actually where I should have just been dead. So it alienated definitely me from my relationships. You know, it'll alienate somebody who wants to really take over an adult child's life. You're really worried about your adult child that's now on their own, and you're just really trying to do all you can for them to help them out. But I'll tell you what, the more we go in and try to do something for somebody else, we're alienating our real relationship with that person, and we're not allowing God to do that work. You know, and there's so many angles when we're doing for others what God can do for them, or when we're doing for ourselves what God should be doing for us. When we're in denial, we're outside of the area that where we can really have a fruitful place and association with other people. It just doesn't work as well. And I think you know what I'm talking about there. It's really hard to be not sober and to be messed up in drugs or messed up in anger and rage and be a sociable person with your family. Believe me, I know. I ran from my family when I was raging, when I was angry. And I was really alienated away from my family because of that. And I wasn't reaching out from God. I was in denial. Stop lying to each other. Tell the truth. For we are parts of each other. And when we lie to each other, we are hurting ourselves. We're hurting our loved ones too, but we're really hurting ourselves. The L lengthens the pain. It just lengthens the pain. It actually lengthens the time of maybe recovery. The more we stay out there and the more barnacles we get on us, the more rust we get on us, the more we just get tweaked out in this world, the more angry we get, the more embittered we get out there. It just lengthens the pain. And really, quite honestly, I believe it can even become malignant, you know? It can come to the point where we can die. I've seen people die. I've seen people really die of broken hearts. They might have used something to actually end it, but They died of a broken heart. I've had friends overdose. I've known people right here. When they left this ministry, they didn't come back anymore. They're gone because they couldn't make it. And it's really sad. But it lengthens the pain when we live in denial. It makes it harder and harder. Jeremiah 30:17 says, I will give you back your health again and heal your wounds. You know, if we can come out of our denial, if we can confess our faults to one another, what does it say? We'll be healed. And I know so many of you here right now have felt that. When you confess your sins, when you come clean and you let that out, you feel that freedom. You feel that weight just go from you. When you give up that need to fix your loved one and you just let them go and you know you can just trust them to God and you trust them to your prayer, you really feel a weight off your shoulder. Really, I just really encourage you to take a look at this first principle, this first step. I actually would like you to just look at the principle itself. Realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. You know, I get to almost pray that every day. I get to see that every day. I just look up when I'm having difficulty and I say, well, Lord, where is it that I'm taking control of my life? Where do I need to yield? Where do I need to find that you need to be the power in this situation and that you need to give me hope? You need to manage this for me, Lord God. How can I trust you and how can I trust others in my life to read into my life? And it really is an others thing. When you come back into fellowship and you come into this type of ministry and program, you'll learn that we need other people. We need to have a sponsor in our life. We need to have somebody really in a pastoral type of care of us, speaking into our life that we can listen to, someone that's been there before. We need to have other people that we're accountable to, that can we can sit next to and say, hey, what's going on with you? This is what's going on to me. You can kind of like trade stories for the week and sit down and listen and have them encourage you and strengthen you. We really need others to come into our life and help us. Romans 12:1-2, you'll hear this scripture a lot in this process. I want to read it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We need to have our minds renewed. And the only way we can begin this process of sanctification is that we come out of complete denial, that we recognize we need God's help in our life. We need His transforming, healing power in our life. Only He can do this. And I'm glad that I know He does. Here's one of my prayers. It's the end verse of Psalms 139. I really trust and I really hope that you'll take a look at where you're still holding on to things in your life. And if you haven't begun the process to let go and let God, I truly hope that you will give this a try and sincerely enter this program with an open heart about how He can help you and how He can help you manage and receive the healing that you so much deserve. Psalms 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. The Lord is good. Amen.